Episode 152, Weighing In with Travis Hartman. I am B Money, the producer. That over there is the talent, Travis Hartman, aka Weekend Trav. Weekend Trav, let's update the listeners and viewers on what's the latest on this Jake Paul and Mike Tyson, deemed to be an exhibition fight, it looks like. Give the listeners some details as to what that's going to be looking like here in July.
So like we said a long time ago, we kept updating people. And finally, now we have a little bit of an update. And I wouldn't say it's breaking news, but it kind of is, because Mike Tyson came out, I believe it was like 10 hours ago, and made this quote. It said, "The rumors are not true. Listen, this is called an exhibition. But if you look up exhibition, you will not see any of the laws that we are fighting under. This is a fight." So what I want to update everybody is and say, there's still no talk of a headgear. There's still no talk of 18-ounce gloves. There's still no talk of the round numbers or the length of the rounds either. Only thing that I can tell you for sure, though, it's an exhibition. And when it's an exhibition, that means that it will not be judged. There will not be referees, and they will not release a decision. But that doesn't mean that they can't knock each other out still. So that could possibly happen. And Tyson acts like that's what he wants to do. So that is there. Tickets still haven't been released, though. And this is talking about July 20th, Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul. So far, it's just been labeled an exhibition. The rest of the rumors are BS. Don't believe them. They have not said one thing about a headgear. They have not said one thing about the gloves. They haven't even said the round length yet. But what they did say is Tyson has now confirmed that they won't sanction it as a pro fight, which I believe that's probably because of the Texas Athletic Commission, which is probably correct. Tyson's 57. Almost 58. Yeah. So it's probably the smart thing to do, because he's fighting a 27-year-old, even though I still think Tyson has a chance. But so that's it. So far, Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul, which everybody keeps asking us about, B-Money, like we know everything. But you know what? I do think you guys should come to us, because we have been the only ones that have been accurate up to this point. I even saw a bunch of my very smart boxing friends posting that this was an exhibition. This is headgear. This is 18-ounce gloves. I'm like, guys, nobody has ever confirmed
for
that.
For a fact, I think it's just more assuming that's what the commission's going to allow. But yeah, I think you'd expect it to be an exhibition. I think anyone, yeah, including Tyson, would be wildly surprised if it was sanctioned as an actual professional fight. I just don't think that's going to be the case.
The weird thing is, B Money, I see odds though. How can you have odds if they're not going to sanction as a fight? I don't understand that.
As long as there's enough people willing to gamble on both sides of it, there's going to be odds makers. So it doesn't have to necessarily be anything professional. It's, you know, as long as there's somebody that's willing to take both sides of the bet. So, you know,
but how are they going to render a winner and a loser if it's an exhibition? Cause they're not.
That's a good point. So maybe I got to look, I haven't looked into, any of the gambling side of it, whether or not that to take one of them as a victor, it's got to be a knockout. Because if that's the case, then I'd imagine that has to be it, right? If there's no judging activity, but still. So basically, the update is there's not a lot of update other than the fact that we think, based on Tyson's comments, that we're looking at an exhibition bout, but no real other specific details out there. Still rumored the gloves are heavier. Still rumored there's no headgear. Still rumored that the rounds might be 2 minutes, but probably not. I'd imagine they're 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So a lot of rumor tied to it. I think based on assuming what the commission may or may not pass through. But one thing's for certain, so far, it's still July 20th, still in Dallas, Texas, still on Netflix, still Jake Paul and Mike Tyson, until otherwise noted.
Check back with us. Nobody else.
There you go. We can try to switch gears. We had a blockbuster fight, just a dog fight here. We had your boy, Fundora, taking on Zoo, right? I mean, that's and this was one that just, bloodbath, good fight, good hard-nosed fight. I tell you what, this gave the fans what they were looking for, and I was actually shocked. I was surprised by the outcome. I didn't think Sebastian Fundora had it in him to go to the lengths here with Zoo, especially this kind of a fight, this kind of a nasty fight. And to him, he is the victor here, winning those belts. So Weekend Trav, give me give everyone at home listening your thoughts on this fight that was there on Amazon Prime, their first foray into the boxing pay-per-view realm. Let's talk about this one here. Sebastian Fundora taking on Tim Zoo.
So this is a crazy fight, because if anybody knows, Tim Zoo was supposed to fight Keith Thurman who he actually was a pretty big favorite over. And if anybody knows, Tim Tszyu is the son of Costa Tszyu, who is a former world champion and Hall of Famer. So it's kind of cool to see a son doing that because you don't see sons achieve this type of level usually when the dad is a world champion, Hall of Famer. Usually the sons just for whatever reason don't live up to that. Well, Tazoo's right there. He's a world champion. He owned the WBO title, and then they were fighting also for the WBC title, which had also been vacant. So this is for the WBO and the WBC. And Sebastian Fundora took this fight on, I believe it was like what, 10 days notice.
Short, yeah.
So I love this B Money because I jumped back into our archives of weighing in with Travis Hartman, and in 2021, Sebastian Fundora was my breakout fighter of the year and the fighter to look forward to. And although it took longer than I expected, because on the podcast, I thought towards the end of 2021, he would get a world title shot. Well, he got a world title shot at the beginning of 2024. But I did say, look out for this guy. I did say, pay attention to this guy. He's just a wiry, weird matchup for anybody. And guess what? He was the same for Tim Tszyu, who was 5'8". Sebastian Fundora is 6'5½", 6'6". In that fight, the face-off was insane, but it ended up going the distance. But what was awesome about it was awesome for us because we got to watch, not be inside of there, because Tim Tszyu got cut on top of the head. I believe it was from an elbow that kind of came down. It was an
Early
accidental.
too.
Yeah, it was one that I think was in the it was in the earlier quarter of the rounds, and it wasn't on purpose. It's just one of those deals where he's a taller guy, and that just happened to come down top of the head, cut him so bad. It was disgusting. Blood all over his face. It's kind of one of those things. What, you know, that's what warriors are made of. And Zoo could have easily checked out, but the guy didn't. He came and he fought. It ended up being 116, 112, 116, 112, 115, 113. So it was, I mean, it's a split decision, mind you. By the way, it was 116, 112 for Tszyu, 116, 112, 115, 113 for Fundora. So Fundora wins the world title, beats Tszyu in a blockbuster fight. It couldn't have been more perfect for Amazon Prime pay-per-view to jump into the mix, because they've been getting a lot of crap because PBC went out of business, and the PBC kind of turned their fighters over, and they're fighting for Amazon now. So it ended up more than delivering B Money.
Very solid. And tell you what, Zoo's really showing just old school mentality, grit, in there. And so we like to see that. I mean, very questionable as to why Sebastian Fundora got this on the short notice. Why was
Very.
he the one that got picked? Cherry picked, I would say. But it ultimately for the promoters worked out probably the way they wanted it to work out, since he was the one picked. And so now we move on. It looked like as of today, Sebastian Fundora has some sort of maybe a medical suspension taking him into the latter part of the year. So he's going to be on the shelf regardless for months, 6 months probably. I mean,
I mean, so will Zoo too, right?
yeah, you would think, but it was kind of questionable as to why he is, why Fundora is. And because there was now who's next? We had the big fish show up, Errol Spence Jr., which it's like, okay, well, don't you think that instead of being hand delivered a title fight with somebody, maybe after you got your ass handed to you significantly by Terrence Crawford, like one-sided, lopsided, maybe you should be having like a tune-up fight to get to that point again? That's my opinion. But there's plenty out there that love Errol Spence that would go against exactly what I said, saying basically telling B Money to shut his mouth and blah, blah, blah. But I don't think Errol Spence deserves that fight. You would think, and it sounded like it was going to be Terrence Crawford now being teed up for that. But I think Terrence Crawford now has some other business to attend to that sounded like that was starting to break either today or yesterday. For a different vacant title at 154. I don't know. There's a lot of question marks, I guess. But either way, Fundora's out, for 6 months, one way or another, doesn't really matter.
I mean, listen, I don't think Terrence Crawford or Errol Spence should want to fight Fundora either. I'm telling you right now that this guy is 6'6". He's the towering inferno. He's gonna give everybody issues because of that. And unless you're this massive knockout puncher, like I think Brian Mendoza is the only guy who knocked out Fundora in his last fight, previous, by the way, he didn't win to earn this title defense or this title opportunity, mind you. But in my opinion, I do think he's up there and deserving of somewhere in that mix because he is good. That was a one-punch knockout. That can happen to anybody. I get that. But why didn't the guy that knocked him out get that opportunity as well, right? So
It's weird because I think I don't know all the specific details, but I know last year when his sister also got a title fight and won, I think at the same time we were both like, why was she handpicked for this one? Because I think she was coming off of a loss as well. It's just kind of weird. Like the Fedora siblings are now
I don't.
both title holders,
I think she's
which
I think she's undefeated, though. I
are we sure?
think.
I don't know. I got to
I
check
think
on
she
that.
is.
There was something I remember just kind of scratching my head, like, why? But it's fine. I mean, more power to them. I'm not saying trying to say take anything away from them necessarily, but it's good for them, right place, right time, and they delivered when it mattered. So good for
Yeah.
them.
Yeah, I mean, win or lose, Fedora delivered that fight. I mean, even in the fight that he lost, he still delivered because it was a knockout and everybody loved it. He folded him up pretty good. But good for him. He is now the WBO, WBC champion of the world at light middleweight, which is 154. I think that they're going to do the right thing. And I think the right thing is to offer a rematch to Zou because that is the right thing. Zou didn't have to fight him, which is weird. You mentioned that. I don't know how Fedora got pushed in there because Zou was on the A side. He had a bunch of money coming from Australia pay-per-view. So he had a big audience that was going to help push this Amazon pay-per-view. So I don't know why they chose Fedora on short notice. How do you choose a guy who's 6'6 on 10 days' notice? You can't bring in enough guys to spar with to get you used to. He's 5'8,
It
B-Money.
might be that it was just such an abnormality with size difference and the way that you have 10 days basically to market this thing. So what do? You try to put it where it's just such an oddity to
Yeah,
see.
that's
You
what it
know,
was.
and so I think that's what it was. If they would have thrown some other contender in there that was, pretty much matched up, same height, same size, yada yada, it probably wouldn't have the intrigue. This because of those differences in size and appeal, had a bit more intrigue to it. And you know what? Fundora capitalized on it. So congratulations to him. Hopefully he bounces back soon. We got to find out and go into the details of what's going on exactly there. Why he has this. The suspension, medical suspension, I believe,
Yeah.
with that. So we got that. Also on that card weekend, Trav,
Ooh.
we had the one and the only Rolly Romero was taking on one Isaac Cruz, the pit bull, Isaac Cruz.
Yeah.
We mentioned a week ago that we thought this was going to be kind of a weird matchup because Rolly Romero's is kind of, it's not that he is super skilled. He's skilled enough, but he's slippery. He's
Yeah.
weird. He's weird in
Yeah.
the ring, and Isaac Pitbull Cruz is kind of a no-nonsense, get in tight, run, go right at you with your forehead down.
A
And
pit
how are,
bull, literally his nickname. Like he fights
yeah,
like it.
and how are those two styles going to mesh in the ring? Well, we can now tell you how it's going to mesh in the ring, and that is by Rolly Romero getting knocked the F out. Well, TKO. I mean, he
Yeah.
was knocked out, not lights out, but knocked out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It didn't pan out well for Rolly Romero. So we can
Nope.
try. What do you think there?
I mean, honestly, I thought that was what's going to happen. I mean, Rolly. Another guy who was on the A side, I mean, pay-per-view numbers wise, where you can kind of pick and choose who you fight. The fact that they picked and choose Isaac Pitbull Cruz was the stupidest thing they could have done because I could have told you, even if you don't win that fight, you're gonna look terrible because Isaac Cruz made Gervonta Davis look terrible, and it was the closest fight that Gervonta Davis has had to date was Isaac Pitbull Cruz. So this guy's tough, rough, and could possibly beat you too. And guess what? He did beat Rolly. And Rolly said, "You guys better call PETA after this because I'm gonna beat this Pitbull so bad." Well, guess what, bro? Who are we supposed to call now to go pick up Rolly?
I'm not gonna lie, I wouldn't mind watching Rolly Romero again. He just has that persona and look that I want to see him get knocked out again. And so
Does he does he
I think people might tune in again to him for that purpose because we just want to see him get knocked out. It's fun to watch him get knocked out. He leading up to the fight, he talks a lot of smack and it's funny and it's good, but we just kind of want to see him get knocked out. So I think it works out. I don't know who would be next in line for either of these two guys or whether or not they had a rematch clause
I
or
got
whatever.
somebody.
Okay,
Let me
let's hear it.
float this name by you for Rolly Romero.
Okay.
Adrian Broner.
Oh my gosh. There's
Two
not
guys
enough.
that we want to see get knocked out.
There's
Why
not
not
enough.
face each other?
There's not enough recording tape on there to listen to both these guys
Could you
talk
imagine the
leading up
buildup
to
to
this.
that? Could you
No.
imagine?
Ugh.
Would I would that is the okay, I'll tell this right. That is the only fight that I would tune into if Adrian Broner fought again.
They would have to
Otherwise, I
have.
wouldn't.
They'd have to have their face-offs outdoors because they couldn't contain the size of their heads and their ego inside of a stadium or indoors. They'd have to do it all outdoors. But yeah, I wouldn't mind. Is there a way for both of them to get knocked out in the same fight?
We have one of those same punch knockouts.
Oh,
It does happen.
that'd be
It's
beautiful.
happened.
That'd be beautiful.
The whole crowd would just erupt, and the whole world would be like, "You guys need to retire now because we're all happy."
Yeah, so there you go. So congratulations, Isaac Cruz. You won some belt on that thing. But to me, Isaac Cruz just has a marketability problem. And I think he will encounter that throughout the remainder of his career. Great, hard-nosed fighter, but kind of one-dimensional and hard to market, in my opinion. That's just my opinion.
No, he's very hard to fight. And he's a very difficult fight. Like I said, anybody that wants to fight him, they know that they're in for a dog fight, hence his name, Pitbull Cruz. But Sean Gibbons is a very, very smart guy who helps run Manny Pacquiao's promotion company, also does Pitbull Cruz. Also, Sean Gibbons is a good friend. Love you, Sean. But it is very tough, I think, for him to get big fights for Pitbull Cruz because of that. He's a very just he's got that dog in him. Do you know what I mean? Like he's got that literally, he's the pit bull, this is his nickname, but he's got that dog in him. He's not a pretty boxer. He's gonna come out there, and if you beat him, it is gonna have to be the ugliest and toughest fight that you've ever had in your entire life. And that's exactly what happened with Gervonta Davis. So I think the only fight for Pitbull Cruz is, and he's probably deserved it, is the rematch with Gervonta. But if Gervonta's smart, Gervonta ain't
Avoid
gonna
it.
do that.
No,
He
no.
would be very well off to pass that on.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. Even with Gervonta, he's been somewhat quiet recently. I think kind of waiting to see how everything pans out with Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia later on in April. We could trap. There was what is dubbed as what we think could potentially be a fight of the year, definitely British fight of the year, and that was also this past weekend. Our correspondent Dave Schroeder actually covered this on his video post on our YouTube channel. Check it out if you have yet to do so. The link is below in the description for his latest installment of what do we call this? What do we call the
The UK
UK? The
Roundup.
UK Roundup. And so this talk to us about this British heavyweight fight that was also this past weekend that was covered very well by Dave Schroeder.
Yeah, I mean, Schroeder was spot on with this because it turns out that the viewership of this peaked at 1.7 million viewers, a fight that nobody had really talked about or heard about, but it was a top 15 in the world rated, number 6 WBO, number 11 WBA, number 12 IBF, number 15 WBC. Fabio Wardley, who was 17-0 with 16 knockouts, he's faced the 2020 super heavy bronze medalist Frazier Clark, who is 8-0-1. So nobody really heard about this fight. Nobody was really had huge expectations. But guess what? It turned out to be possibly fight of the year according to Dave Schroeder. And I'm not going to say I disagree. I think it's going to be a candidate for a fight of the year. I think Dave Schroeder could be on point there. And I think that beginning this is the first quarter of boxing in 2024. I said it last year. It was 2023. It was my Jordan year for boxing, one of the greatest years we have in a long time. I think 2024 is shaping up to be a pretty fantastic year. I mean, we just had Fundora versus Zou. We had Rolly getting knocked out. That was all in the first quarter of boxing in 2024. We're getting ready to have.
That was all just in the last weekend of
Yeah,
the first quarter.
exactly. And we're getting ready to have Devin Haney versus Ryan Garcia, which the first quarter of those buildup of that fight has probably been the most epic I've ever seen in my life, and not in a good way. But boxing is hitting on all cylinders. I think that you guys should head over to Dave Schroeder's UK Roundup and check it out. That's Fabio Wardley versus Fraser Clark, heavyweight clash over in the UK. I think you should definitely tune in. It's about a 5 to 6 minute video. Dave Schroeder will update you.
We have the link in the description below. If you're following us on YouTube, it is there. So just open up the description, click that link. While you're at it, go ahead and subscribe to this channel too, because if you want some of that UK flavor on top of what we do here on the podcast, which is usually more domestic, we do sprinkle in the main fights that go on, let's say in Japan or in England and in Saudi and all the places, but for the UK specific flavor, tune in, subscribe to our podcast channel, Weighing In with Travis Hartman. You're also going to want to hit the bell icon to get alerted when we drop new content, including Dave Schroeder's UK roundup there, which tends to come out every week or two, depending on how active it is in the scene over there. So definitely do give us a thumb up, like, subscribe, hit the bell icon to be notified when we drop new content. We can Trav. As you were talking, I was going to, because you mentioned the two names and you mentioned the fight coming up in April, and that's Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia. I was just trying to get updated on the Vegas side of things here. Bah, 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 bah.
Ryan Garcia is a massive
It's a
underdog.
massive underdog, but I wanted to get the
I
updated
think
here.
-750,
That's
right?
May. I don't want May. I got too far. Give me 1 second. Here we go. Yeah. So Devin Haney -750. Ryan Garcia +500. Good night. That probably isn't very good. But let's see. I'm
No.
more than likely assuming it's Devin Haney by decision, is probably total rounds.
It's probably like a -100 or something,
And
probably,
10 and
right?
a half. 10 and a half looks like -2. Looks like total rounds. 10 and a half looks like the line on that one. Yeah, so I mean, you still have a couple weeks left, but not shocked, I guess, on
Yeah,
that. Is it worth
that's
the teaser? +500, Ryan Garcia floating something out there. I don't
I, you know what? I wasn't thinking that it was until, our fight team group message that we're in, Luis Salazar.
I
He's
know.
actually been right on a couple things. But I think I'm gonna put a couple bucks down, B
You
money.
think?
I
I
think
think.
because I think the spread is just so far.
Yeah.
I thought it would be a little, I knew that Haney was gonna be a favorite, but that far of a spread, it makes me feel something fishy. When it's that far of a spread,
Yeah.
Garcia, you know that Garcia beat Devin Haney 3 times in the amateurs, though.
That
They
might as
fought
well have
six
been a
times,
lifetime ago.
3 and 3, and it was. But I think that obviously Ryan Garcia is talented. So is Devin Haney, who I predicted would run the 135-pound to 140-pound division, and he has. I still think he does, but I think that it's worth one of those sucker bets, you like to call it. I think
Yeah.
it's probably worth it, man. Like,
Maybe.
I feel something shady is going to go on, B Money, because there's a bunch of stuff going on with Ryan Garcia. And there's a bunch of little talks about Devin Haney and some of the people he's associated with. And just, I don't know. I have this weird feeling that something weird's going to happen. And don't be shocked, right? Because it's Ryan Garcia anyway. Like, something weird has happened already. But I just feel something weird is in the
Well, the
mix.
favorite outcome right now is Haney by decision. And the reason why I say that is because you got a -165 on Devin Haney winning by decision,
I think that's correct.
which I think is going to be the outcome. But if something weird happens, just so everyone's curious, right now, Ryan Garcia by knockout, TKO, or disqualification +900. Ryan Garcia by decision +1500 to win by decision. Interesting stuff. I don't know. Well, we have time to talk about it in another week, but so maybe we'll do that.
Yeah, we got some time.
I digress. Weekend Trav was it was great to see you on another podcast this past week.
Oh,
Travis
yeah.
Hartman, aka Weekend Trav, was on Title Unboxed with Doug Ward there with Title Boxing. You can catch that on YouTube. The link is down below in the description as well with our UK Roundup link. So we can Trav, you were on there and you guys were discussing, I believe, top three welterweights ever,
Yeah,
right?
we were. Yeah, I think that That was a good debate. I love it. Doug is such a good, knowledgeable boxing guy. Like it was so fun doing the podcast, and because he knows what he's talking about, and I loved it. And we had three different choices for, well, we had to, because what we did was we did a draft pick. I got to go first, he got to go second, I got to go. So like we couldn't pick the same guys, even if we wanted to, which I would have put Sugar Ray Leonard somewhere on my list too. He picked him as number one. I picked Terrence Crawford as number one, which is very odd because Terrence Crawford is a
Oh,
current
shocking.
welterweight,
What a
but not,
shock.
it was odd in the fact that I chose him as one of the greats, but it wasn't shocking in the fact that I chose him, because
No.
everybody knows that I give that guy a lot of credit, probably more than most people should, but he's good. And I think it's going to go down that way too. But it was a great podcast. And I really, you guys go over to Unboxed, Title Unboxed podcast, and it's very good. I mean, this guy has, he's had Sugar Ray Leonard on there. He's had a lot of greats on there already. And I was just honored to ask to become on it, and then get to talk about all those greats was freaking awesome.
Yeah,
And it
because you
turns out,
you've known Doug since you were like 10 years old, right?
yeah, and we talked about that. I'm
Like a
40.
hundred, that's like 100 years old. That's like 100 years.
No, I brought it up to him and I was like, dude, I've known you 30 years. And Doug was like, we're not gonna talk about how old I am then, Travis. Doug looks phenomenal for his
Looks great
age.
for
I
his
don't
age,
even know
man.
how old he is, but I
No.
know that I've known Doug for literally 30 years, which is insane. But when you meet good people in the boxing world, B-Money, you try to keep them around, because there's a lot of snakes in boxing. There's a lot of people that are not the best of people in the boxing world. So when I meet guys like Doug, I just like to keep him in my circle because he's a good person and he also knows boxing. So it was really fun going on the podcast, and I go check it out, Title Unboxed.
Go over there, subscribe to that podcast too. If subscribe to ours, but also subscribe to theirs. And if you're not going to subscribe to ours, subscribe to theirs and vice versa. Might as well. Why not? You're going to get good content. Doug puts out good stuff. It's not just, I mean, he interviews everybody under the sun. Got guys you've never heard of and guys you have definitely heard of. Goes through product breakdowns, stuff like that. Been in this game a long, long time. Deserves all the accolades, deserves the respect of the boxing community, and gets it. That's the other thing. It's one thing to deserve it, but you also get it. So go over there and check out Title Unboxed, their podcast. You can find that also on YouTube. Link is in the description below, and of our the episode with our very own Weekend Trav, who was on there this past week.
And their camera was phenomenal,
Well, yeah.
mind you,
Well,
B Money.
your camera sucks. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Your computer camera is not very good.
Listen, I'm on my computer. I'm on
I
my
know.
MacBook, bro.
Well, I mean, I have my
Where's
I'm on a computer too. I just have a nicer
but
webcam.
we're zooming. I got a
I know.
2013 MacBook Air. So
Well, we also
I'm gonna upgrade, B Money. I'm gonna
Doug
upgrade.
also has a production team and all sorts of stuff. It's not like
He
he's out
does. He
there
does.
tinkering and doing his own thing. He's
He
got a
does.
staff that takes care of this stuff.
Listen, Doug does it right, and that's why their podcast has got, like, on YouTube alone, it's got 31,000
Listen,
subscribers, 100,000 on their Instagram.
these guys that are able to push out all this content all the time, they got people, doing a lot of it for them. I mean, speaking of another guy that has a lot of content on the social media hype stuff, this guy right here,
Your boy.
he has people breaking down film and putting stuff together for him doing it. But this is Richard Torres, also victorious this past weekend. I can't tell you who he beat, and probably no one else could tell you who he beat, but he beat him, and it was another knockout. So we'll give him that and the t-shirt.
Check it out, Glendale, Arizona. Richard Torres.
There you go. I'm a
Oh,
supporter, silver medalist.
I love it. It's the best. I love it.
So, victorious also this past week. What a big, obviously that just is the cherry on top for this past weekend of the boxing world. It was Richard Torres victorious. So, whatever it is.
Still undefeated.
Still
You
undefeated.
know what? What we have to bring him up a little bit is that Sebastian Fandoro was my breakout fighter of the year, but I believe he was yours for 2023. You were
One of the
like
years.
coming into 2024. I think it was this last
It
one
might have been
you
the
were.
year before. The year before. This year coming in, I've been right and wrong. I'll give myself a pass on this one because what I said was Francis Ngannou going into 2024. Not necessarily that he's going to take the heavyweights by storm. But the fact that
That's right. That's right.
he had enough notoriety, he made a ton of money, he was headlining. I mean, watch out. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
He could have another fight before the year's out, but that was
Tyson Fury
mine.
screwed us.
Yeah, I think Richard Torres was mine a year before that. I don't know. We can try.
That
We're
makes sense.
grizzled veterans. We've been doing this for many, many years at this point.
Since 2020, since the big C.
Yeah, we want to talk about being old. That does it. So we can try. Final thoughts over to you.
I totally forgot to mention this, and I think that I want to mention it for two reasons. I got a really good story about this weekend. So I was down at the Florida Golden Gloves. So I like to tell people this because I get so many average fans that come up to me and they're like, "Oh, boxing's making a comeback, huh, Trav?" I'm like, "What makes you say that?" And then they explain to me like, "Oh, you don't see it that." I'm like, "Okay, well, no, you're wrong because boxing didn't go anywhere. It's at the height that it's probably ever been. It's not that it's building back up." I'm like, these guys are making record purses and it's been around for a while. But the why I bring it up now is because I was down at the Florida Golden Gloves B Money. They had fights Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They had two rings going at once. They had 30 fights in each ring and two sessions a day. We had a 1 o'clock session and an evening session. 30 fights in each ring, B Money. So this is just for the state of Florida. There was probably 1,000 competitors. So I tell everybody this, no matter what sport it is, I go, you can tell the overall health of a sport based on the amateur level. Okay. And if that is a gauge for boxing right now in Florida, we're talking as young as 10 years old was there, as old as 50 or 60 was there fighting. So if people want to know the health of boxing, I'm telling you it's strong because there was 1,000 competitors in the Florida Golden Gloves for a Golden Glove tournament over the weekend, which I had a fighter there. That's why I bring it up. He ended up fighting in the finals. He made it to the finals not because he beat people to get there. He got a bye, then he got a walkover because this guy didn't show up, but he still earned the right to be in the finals. He lost a split decision, a very good fight. Joseph Herzberg, AKA Iowa. Congratulations, man. I know that it wasn't a win, but it was a great fight. He showed that he belonged there. He's 18. He fought a 28-year-old, and it literally was a split decision, and it could have went either way. I wasn't unhappy with the decision because it was one of those B money where you watch it and you're just like, eh, if Joe would have won, you'd have been like, yeah, that's fine. If the guy won, you're like, ah, yeah, I can see that. It was one of those fights that was that close. But even better, Evander Holyfield was there. And the reason I bring it up is because if we're going to talk bad about superstars when they do stuff like turn down autographs, then we have to talk good about them when they don't. He was there for 3 days. And every day that I saw him, B Money, he wasn't there with security. He wasn't there with an entourage. He was sitting at a table watching these fights where anybody could approach him. And people respected him enough that they didn't like bombard him, but they did come every once in a while asking for a picture and an autograph. For 3 straight days, I never seen him turn down one picture or one autograph. Okay. And it's Evander Holyfield. He beat Mike Tyson twice. This guy is a Hall of Famer and he will go down as, one of the
Icon of
great
the sport.
heavyweights, right? So, like, when I see guys like that, I was just like, I don't know, man. I was so impressed with him and the fact that he did that I needed to talk about it because he deserves so much respect for that. He is the people's champ, man. I mean, this guy is he the fact and when he so he didn't even have an entourage. When he left by himself and nobody bombarded him because people respected him. And I say that because I remember Mike Tyson saying this one time about Floyd Mayweather. And Floyd Mayweather wants to talk about how he's the greatest and he's the best ever, the TBE. Well, I think in the ring, yes, he is one of the best. I'm not going to say the best, but I think that Mike Tyson had a good point because he goes, Floyd Mayweather's a scared little boy because he can't walk around unless he's got five security guards around him. So when you can walk around with the people who made you and they respect you and they allow you to walk around like a normal person, I think that's phenomenal. And people respected, at least it was the boxing world, so that's different. I get it. We're in the it's a close-knit world, the boxing world is, but all the boxing people there respected Holyfield enough to not bombard him. They did ask him for pictures and autographs, but they did it in a very respectful way. They didn't like crowd him, they didn't just bombard him. And I just think that's worth mentioning that Evander Holyfield took a picture and got up and signed every single autograph of every single person that came up to him. He didn't turn away one person. Okay.
It was a stark contrast to another fighter that was there watching the event that was turning down everyone left and right that tried to approach for an autograph or a photo, and that was one Travis Hartman. He was ruthless to the fans. He was rejecting little kids left and right. My time is precious, is what I kept hearing him say.
You know what? It's pretty cool. I didn't do that. But Evander Holyfield actually was ringside for one of my boxing matches. And I wasn't going to take a picture with him, mind you, until our group chat fight team was like, you got to do it, Trap. So finally, at the very end, the very last day, I walked up to him. I had a conversation with him because I've got a picture with him from HBO boxing card in St. Louis, Missouri. He was ringside for my fight in Oklahoma City, and we actually rode the same plane home. I chatted with him quite a bit. And then now I got a picture with him in Florida. So I did take a picture with him. He was so gracious. I talked to him about my boxing match that he was ringside with. And I got to tell this story because it's a cool story. I lost that fight. However, in the first round, I almost knocked the guy out. And the only reason I bring it up is because when I seen Oscar or Oscar, when I seen Evander Holyfield at the airport the next day, we flew one of those little jumper planes over from Oklahoma to Texas. So it was a 20 passenger seat plane. So it was small. So me and him were sitting at the airport right beside each other before we got on the plane. And I went up to him, was like, hey, Mr. Holyfield, like I fought yesterday and I saw you there. It was a charity event. And he was like, yeah, he's like, I remember you. He goes, I looked over at my manager in that first round and I said, I think this white boy's gonna knock this black kid out. And like Evander Holyfield said that to me, and I was just like, I appreciate that, but I still lost. But it was, yeah, exactly. But he literally, that was his words out of his mouth, and I just kind of laughed. I was like, that was kind of cool. But regardless, it was a good weekend. The Florida Golden Gloves is, if there are any indication of how boxing is doing across the United States, it's a good indication because it's very strong right now. There's a lot of amateur boxers, there's a lot of talents. And it's coming up. Obviously, the pros are going to cycle off eventually. These new breed will come up, but when it does, I think it's healthy, and I think we have a lot to draw from.
Can't come back if you never went anywhere to begin with. So it's not that boxing's back. It never left. Get it through your heads. That's my final thought of episode 152 of Weighing In with Travis Hartman. I am B Money, the producer. That over there is the talent, Weekend Trav.
God bless, guys. That there is B Money, aka
Well,
producer, aka the man, the myth, the
I've
legend.
jacked the
And
ending up, but I can do that sometimes.
also, I gotta represent Designed to Heal. I love these guys, and I'm rocking their t-shirt today. God
There it
bless.
is.